So, what is truth? That is my subject that I felt when they asked me to... they said, Paul, you haven't spoken for a long time. It's about time you spoke. And then I got all ready 4 weeks ago, and God decided to do something else. So I had to walk away with my notes again. I was getting a bit worried this morning, but thank you, Emma. Thank you, Emma, for giving away. You know, we often preach and share in the worship and everything about lots of different aspects of God that he wants us to experience, and we've sung them all this morning, haven't we? His love, his peace, his joy, faith, faithfulness, grace, hope. But not very often do we talk about his truth. And yet it's one of the key things in Scripture. He's a God of truth. And I felt this morning that we just wanted to look at this from a Bible perspective and ask this question: what is truth? Do you know, if you do a search for the word truth in the New Testament on your Bible app, more than 100 times Jesus had a little saying. It was a bit like his catchphrase. Those of us who are older and the old Bibles will remember it as, truly, truly, I say unto you. In the newer Bible, it says something like, I'm telling you the truth. And he said it, three of the Gospels, 100 times. Before parables, before a key message. And so he was really trying to say to them, look, I'm speaking the truth. What you're hearing from me is the truth. So this question, who asked this? Here's a question for you. Who asked this in the Bible? Because it's a quote. Somebody said, what is truth? I'm not asking Chris because he answered it straight away the other week. He's gone in. Thank you. Well done, Brian. It was Pilate. Jesus appeared before Pilate after being sent to him as the Roman governor after he'd been convicted by the Jewish leaders. And in John chapter 18, they're talking about the fact that he is a king, but not a king of this earth. And he says to Pilate, in fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And Pilate answered back, what is truth? And with that, he went out again to the Jews and said, I can find no basis to charge him. I find it interesting that Pilate didn't even wait for an answer. It's kind of a cynical, what's truth? You know, you're talking to me about truth, what's truth? And it's such a relevant question today because, you know, truth is under attack. I'll put some of the bits on here. Fake news, this phrase that's come up the last 10 years. I love this one that people have used. They've invented alternative facts. We'll talk about in a minute about how facts can't be both true and false, but alternative facts. And our, you know, our broadcasters, our news organisations are having to spend a lot of time verifying whether what they're telling is the truth. The BBC Verify is a brand that they've introduced. Other organisations have programmes too, looking at what is true and false on each day. Truth is under attack. Of course, there are conspiracy theories everywhere. There's scammers, people ring you up, trying to convince you the truth that isn't the truth. My favourite one is the poor Indian man who used to ring me up a lot and say, no, he didn't say that. He said, there's a problem with your internet. And I used to say, there isn't a problem with my internet, but if I carry on listening to you, there soon will be. He doesn't ring anymore. First thing I want to say about this whole thing is the truth exists. May sound a silly thing to say, but we live in a post-modern era, and certainly for those who are younger than me, whether you've realised it or not, you've grown up in what's called post-modern thinking. Apparently we're modern, our age, and you're post-modern, but don't worry. And post-modern thinking tells us that all truth is relative. Your truth could be different from my truth. If you believe something's true, it's true. So, you know, a Muslim can be true and a Hindu can be true and an atheist can be true. And this idea of there being a one truth is thrown to the side. But in the Bible, God and Jesus, as he speaks many times, insists that there is truth and that God is a God of truth. Our faith and the Bible make high claims to be the truth. I've just put one example there, Paul writing to the Colossians. It's his prayer when he's thanking God for them of how they came to faith and their faith and love that sprang from the hope that they have received and that you have heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has amongst you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. Paul was determined that the truth was what he was preaching. Second thing I want to say is also fairly obvious. What's the definition of truth? It's what's correct. What isn't false? Again, it seems obvious to have to say that. But in our day and age, we need to ask ourselves all the time, is what I'm hearing true? When Paul White from Weymouth came to speak to us a couple of months ago, do you remember he talked about that verse of Jesus who said, you need to be as gentle as doves and as wise as serpents. And I think this is one of the areas where we need to always be asking God for wisdom, because he asks us, yes, to be people who listen and are gentle, but we also need to be wise what we hear. We've talked this morning, and I'll talk some more in a minute about listening to the lies, but we need to ask for wisdom to discern what's true. So much of what is thrown at us through the news, through social media, is distorted. Sometimes it's even false. Who do we believe? Well, you need to know who and what to trust. We receive truth, I think, from people we trust, don't we? There are people that we know well that we say, if they've said it, I know it's true. And as we come to know God, we realise that he is a God of truth, so we trust what he said, and that's truth. But even out in the world, in the media, we need to know your trusted sources. Don't, you know, just jump on the first thing that gets sent to you or that you hear. I learnt this a little bit the hard way the other month when someone I trust, who's another church leader in this area, sent me an email saying, can we really put this out to people to pray for Christians in Syria, because there's a huge massacre been going on this weekend and none of the news people are reporting it. They're all focusing on other things. And it had an interview and various information. And I, in my mistake, I just looked at it and thought, that looks good. I knew it had been in the news that there were people being massacred in Syria that weekend. And I just put it out to, said, can we send this out to the Pause and Pray prayer list? A day or so later, a couple of emails came back from people saying, don't think this is really true. And they pointed us to news stories that were on trusted places, like Open Doors, that some of you will know, who work with Christians in the persecuted church, and a Catholic charity, Caritas. And they'd actually had to put out news statements saying, this story is going around and it's not true. The people being murdered were Alawites, they're Muslims. Yes, Christians live in that area, they're a bit caught up in it, but there's been no destroying of churches, no killing of Christians. And I felt a bit silly, because I thought, I've done exactly what I'm telling other people not to do. So we put out a corrective statement. I don't think in that case any harm was done. Some people prayed for Christians in Syria, hopefully, and that will do no harm. But it was a lesson to me that a lot of stuff that comes our way these days is distorted. What were they trying to achieve in that? They were trying to stir up anti-Muslim belief that Muslims are out to kill Christians wherever they are. They were trying to provoke unrest like happened a year ago in our country with a similar situation. So, who do you believe? Know your trusted sources. Oh, has that been clicking itself? Well, I've not been watching. Cross-check anything that doesn't seem right or is important to you. If you get one of those strange calls, the scammers, what do the banks say? Don't believe it. Go to us. Find out if what they're saying is true. And the same in the news. Go to the places that you know are going to be trustworthy. And can I just say there's an opposite extreme here. There's stuff out there on Christian sites, sadly, particularly in America, saying don't believe anything that the media tells you. It's all wrong. Don't believe the BBC. Don't believe whatever. That's the opposite danger. That's people trying to get you to listen to just what they're saying. And yes, our news organisations don't get everything right. But, you know, I would say 90% of it is right. We need to know where our truth is coming from. But when the Bible uses the word truth, it's much deeper than that. It's not just talking about what's right and wrong, what's correct and incorrect. The word, and I'm not going to bore you with Greek words and Hebrew words today, but the word in both the Old and the New Testament means something about the fundamental truth of our universe, of our creation, of who we are. That is Bible truth. It's not just whether something's right and wrong. I'm having trouble with my clicker now. Technology's not playing up with me, is it? It's not working. Would you be able to click for me, Emma? Yeah. Go back one, thank you. No, on one. On one. Right. Jesus made this statement that we all know. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth he was talking about was not just whether something was right or wrong. It was this truth about God and about who we are. What is the truth that sets us free? It's not mysterious. It's not hidden. You know, some of the cults and the sects out there will tell you, you know, come and be initiated and then you can find out the deep truths that are hidden to most people, the secrets. Christian truth is not hidden. We don't have to go through some ceremony to find it. It is plain and it's revealed. And the first part of that truth, I'm going to look at five aspects of that truth. First is that there is a creator God who has revealed himself. I've put Romans 1 there. You know, Paul was very dismissive of people who don't believe in God as a creator. He says, since the creation of the world, God's qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, having been understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, worshipping and serving created things rather than the Creator. What Paul is saying is, look at creation. Look at the amazing universe around us. Look at our bodies, how fearfully and wonderfully we're made, like the psalmist says. Isn't it obvious, he's saying? You know, we love those programs that look at the universe, like Professor Cox's ones, like David Attenborough's nature programs and that. And they are so often full of awe and wonder, aren't they, about, isn't it amazing, the world around us? And yet they seem to stumble at a certain point. One Professor Cox one I was watching, he almost caught himself saying, this is too wonderful to be random. And yet he stopped himself. You know, it takes more faith in my mind to believe that it's all random and haphazard than it does to look and see the hand of the Creator, doesn't it? When we see the amazing creation around us. And that's what Paul's saying. God's invisible qualities can be clearly seen in what he's made. We're without excuse. There is a creator God, and he has revealed himself in his creation. And he is a God who cares and is involved with us. He's not a distant God. Next one, Emma. Oh, truth is also revealed in a person, in Jesus. It wasn't enough for God to show himself in his creation. He needed to show us what God looked like in man. And Jesus in John 14 there made this amazing statement, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. And Philip then says, crazy question really, show us the Father and that will be enough for us. Jesus says, don't you know after I've been with you for such a long time, Philip? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you ask me, show us the Father? It's a pretty extreme statement when you think, stand back and think about it. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. It flies in the face of what I was saying earlier, the postmodern thinking of saying there's lots of different ways to God, there's lots of different ways to truth. Jesus was extreme. No one comes to the Father except through me. But I've come to reveal my Father. As we study Jesus, and we should spend a lot of our time, I think, when we're reading the scripture, reading the Gospels and exploring Jesus, we get to see the Father in the flesh. The famous Christian author C.S. Lewis famously said that when Jesus said things like that, he must have either been a madman, a liar, or he was telling the truth. There's only those three options. He was either completely mad, he made it all up, or he's telling the truth. And as he went on to say, what madman or liar ever went to die for the people he came to serve? And we can go on and say, what madman or liar ever rose from the dead after? Jesus is truth. Truth is a person. Next one, Emma. And the Spirit of truth has been poured out on us. Later on in that same chapter, John 14, which is Jesus talking to his disciples before he went to the cross, he says, I will ask the Father and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, who is the Spirit of truth. And he goes on to say, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. Isn't that amazing? That it's not enough that God has shown himself in the universe and in creation, and 2,000 years ago in a man, in Jesus, that we can read about in the Gospels, but that he has sent his Holy Spirit, who has been available to every Christian since then. And he is the Spirit of truth. And there's a promise from God there that if we receive and we listen to the Holy Spirit, he will lead us into all truth. He will tell us what is to come. The reason there is a battle for truth, the next one, Emma, sorry. The reason there is a battle for truth is that we have an enemy. And Jesus, again, was very blunt about his enemy. He spoke to the Pharisees, amazingly, the religious people of the day, and he said in John 8, you belong to your father, the devil. You want to carry out his desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not hold to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he's speaking his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I am telling you the truth, you do not believe me. Pretty strong statement again. We have an enemy, and he's called the father of lies. There is no truth in him. Wherever there are false teachings, heresies, cults, sects, conspiracy theories, we can know what's at the source of it. The enemy is stirring people up, and in this day and age, he's trying to completely confuse and deceive people. Jesus said before he went to the cross to his disciples that people would come and claim to have the truth, and they would seek to deceive, as if it were possible, even God's chosen ones. That was his warning. I'm not saying that to frighten you this morning. I'm just wanting to encourage you that there is a truth, the truth that we live in, the truth that sets us free. And there is a Holy Spirit who, if we listen to him and we receive him into our lives, will keep us in the truth. And finally, number five, truth is your testimony. In some ways, the greatest truth of all for you. Because people can argue with you about what you believe, about whether God did create the world, whether Jesus came, all these things. But they can't argue with you with your testimony, what you have experienced of God, of these attributes of him, of his love, his peace, his joy, his breakthroughs. It can't be denied. In Revelation, John says that in the end we will overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, which is what Jesus has done on the cross for us, and by the word of our testimony. The word of our testimony is the proof of truth. And Jesus, went before he left the earth, asked his disciples to go out and be his witnesses. What do you have in a court of law to establish the truth? Witnesses, yeah. Court of law is there very much about the subject of truth. What's truth and what's false? What they're trying to find out. And the key to it, obviously, is evidence. And we have evidence, you know, of Jesus and rising from the dead and that. But it's also witnesses. And we're called to be his witnesses. Witnesses to the truth. So, God is a God of truth. What is true is firstly what is correct and right, and we need to be discerning in this day and age as we receive so much information from so many places. But the truth that the Bible talks about is that there is a creator God. He has revealed himself. He's a person in Jesus, and he's poured out that spirit of truth on us, and that our testimony of that truth will overcome the lies of the enemy. I hope that's helpful. I'd like to pray us to pray together. Keep thinking of the line of that Martin Smith song, "I'm happy to be in the truth of when your love came down." Father, thank you that you have revealed your truth not only to us, but to people over 2,000 years and beyond that, to the Jews. Thank you, the truth is that you are alive and you are loving and you're kind and you're gracious and you're faithful and you're full of hope. Thank you that the truth is that you came to save us. Thank you that the truth is that we have received that, many of us in this room. And that you've given us your spirit of truth. I want to pray for us as a church family, you will keep us in the truth, Lord. As so many are easily distracted away into deceptions or false ideas, we want to remain in that truth. Because it's the truth that will set us free. And it's the truth that will set the people out there free, Lord. Amen.